There is one person on. The only other thing with Zoom during prayer time, some people may prefer the chat, so I'll come back and look at the chat for the So you'll see something. I'll for that day.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
You made it over here so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait,
something
great.
Yeah.
Go on for you.
Nope.
So how you been?
Pretty good.
How are you? What I need is
don't worry at all.
So we're gonna do something for you.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, brother.
Yeah, it's a very There.
One turns off, three brings a pet. There is something in the works, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And we are glad that you are with us today, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. I want to give a special recognition of the fact that many of us are celebrating the life of the Reverend Kathy Carlson, who served this church along with her husband Mike Bausch, and her celebration of life is today in Madison. So let's take a moment before we get underway with worship. Let's take a moment to if you knew Kathy, if you have an intention or a prayer for either the Bausch or Carlson or West House families, let's take a few moments of silence and be in prayer and thought for them. God, give comfort to the brokenhearted. Give peace to those who grieve. And remember Kathy with love. Help us always carry her example in our hearts. And help us always remember the hope of the resurrection of your son, Jesus, which gives us hope even as death and destruction seem to prevail. Amen. So the other announcement that I have comes from the missions committee. I was given a sheet of paper to read, so I'll be reading that here. So the third quarter mission starts on today. We will be providing a meal for the residents of the St. Catherine Drexel shelter on September 29th. That's coming up in a couple of weeks for the supper meal. We have a sign up on the back butcher block to make cookies and volunteer to serve meal and converse with the residents. We will carpool leaving church at 3:45 p.m. to St. Catherine's, and donations are needed as well to help with the cost of the meal. We will be serving brats, hot dogs, and hamburgers as along with picnic-style side dishes. So if you are interested in helping with that in any way, please sign up on the back butcher block or talk to Sue Wiggins or any other folks on the missions committee. Any other announcements for us this morning? Yes, Becky, come on up.
Sorry, I guess I'm a regular. I have a couple announcements. We're still looking for some Christian education or Sunday school teachers. And if you could share that with us, I do provide detailed lesson plans in advance. So I keep it as simple and easy for you as I can. Youth group chaperones. They are signing up on the butcher block, but we could use some days in October filled in yet. So please take a look at that if you're able to help us out there. And, in the Family Bible Bingo tables in back. If you participated at all in that and did not claim a bingo prize, it's on the honor system. Just go ahead, go to that back table and help yourself to one of the prizes. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements this morning? Seeing none, let's take a moment to share the peace of Christ with one another. Hi.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The law of God is perfect. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Lead us, Lord, to abundant life.
Our opening hymn is number 22, Let All Things Now Living.
I'm leaving.
Creator, we have come in response to your call to worship you. We have come to be in community with our neighbor. We have come on site and online. We have come with quiet contemplation and boisterous joy. We have come in grief and with hope. We come together in your name to honor your presence and to give you praise. Amen.
Amen. Now it is time for children's time, intergenerational time.
She didn't want to die. And you know, eventually died.
And but she, do you think her family would have gotten to use this new dog if her other one would have died? No, they both said no, probably not. So sometimes God has a different plan for this little puppy. When he entered her first, God knows the answer to what he wants to do because he has better comfort. What is the best? In this case, the better plan must be get loose is the loop of the name of the Holy Spirit. So good. All right. What did you say? After they die, you have to bury them with the white bodies. It smells very good.
Yeah.
Pastor Jacob, would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for loving us and for reminding us of the plan you have for us. Help us share your love wherever we go, and help us remember that your plan is always the best plan. Amen. Oh, wow. You can.
I'm training with on one of my bikes, and I can balance.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, love it.
In today's reading, Jesus speaks of the disciples and teaches them about the enormous calling God has placed on him. We'll be reading Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus and his disciples went into the village near Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They told him, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "And what about you? Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The human one must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the legal experts, and be killed, and then, after 3 days, rise from the dead." He said this plainly. But Peter took hold of Jesus and, scolding him, began to correct him. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, then sternly corrected Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking God's thoughts, but human thoughts." After calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus said to them, "All who want to come to me, who want to come after me, must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Why would people gain the whole world but lose their lives? What will people give in exchange for their lives? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the Holy One will be ashamed of that person when he comes into the Father's glory with the holy angels." Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Before I start my sermon today, we are going to listen to a poem. The Reverend Steve Garness Holmes is a retired United Methodist pastor, and I use a lot of his worship resources because I love him. He wrote a poem based on this text.
"Who do you say I am?" Jesus asked his disciples, But who do you say that I am? Mark 8:29. He's not asking for a theological statement, but a personal one. Not what he is, but who. All the answers, even the right one, are not what he means, but who am I to you? Aside from what anyone says about him, fundamentalists and atheists, theologians and wackos alike, how does he land in your life? Where does he touch you? Awaken you? Scare you? Encourage you? Heal you? Where does he lead you? Let that be enough. And never mind the arguments about roles and titles. Don't try to box him in. Just listen.
Let's pray together, friends. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I've moved through this week, I've been thinking a lot about what Jesus Christ means to our lives. What's the point? And what difference does it make to believe in Jesus? Kind of an abstract thought process, I know, but I'm a nerd. And it's also worth thinking about and digging into every time, every so often, because the truth is, there are so many ways that we could spend our time on a Sunday morning. How many of us might wish that we could sleep in on Sunday mornings? How many of us wish that maybe instead we could go to a sporting event or bond with our children or our grandchildren, or maybe we'd rather go for a walk or a bike ride? Maybe housework even seems more appealing? No? Maybe not. But for some people, the meaning of Jesus Christ in their lives is very personal. It certainly is for one of my best friends, the Reverend Tim Powers Reed. Tim, you might remember, you've actually met Tim. He was one of the two pastors who came and joined us on Pentecost Sunday. He was the older gentleman with tattoos and glasses. And he has one of the clearest and most compelling call stories of any pastor I've ever met. He leaned on Jesus in a very specific way while he was incarcerated in Illinois for his embezzlement of funds at the school district that he worked at. His father had been a Southern Baptist minister. And not only had Tim just come out as a bisexual man, but began to sense a call to ministry from behind the bars of his jail cell. He eventually prayed to Jesus, vowing to accept the call to ministry if Jesus would not only be with him through his incarceration, but also bring him out of the deep depression that he was feeling. So the road was long and difficult for Tim. And even after he got out, he faced many challenges, especially in the first couple of years that I knew him. But I continued to be so proud of all that he's accomplished. And he's an incredible asset, not only to Trinity UCC in Belleville, where he serves now, but also to the entire United Church of Christ. There are all sorts of things that he does that that are just beautiful ministry things, and looking forward to seeing how his call will evolve. And he didn't get the chance to share this part of his story when he was here, so I thought you might like to hear it. So now, I know that not everybody has that clear of an encounter with Christ. I would say that my own encounters with Jesus have been loving and prayerful, but not born out of the same level of personal adversity. So the reason that I share this story is because it offers a helpful example of how one person answers the question, who do you say that I am? So today I'm going to talk about the ways that Jesus invites us to do the same. So it's helpful for us to remember that this story takes place at Caesarea Philippi. This is an area about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, so way up there, which has one of the largest springs feeding the Jordan River. This makes it a particularly beautiful place for respite and worship. And also provides the disciples a chance to get away from the large crowds that often follow Jesus. But of course, where Jesus goes, crowds inevitably follow. Jesus, no matter where they were, has something to share, and people know it. So this is why Jesus starts by saying, who do the people say that I am? What kind of reputation do I have around here? Can you take the pulse around here, disciples? What do you think is going on? And the disciples say, well, word on the street is that some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you might be Elijah, and others might think that you are one of the other many prophets who have come through this area. So in other words, many people in Caesarea Philippi would have assumed that Jesus was more likely a messenger of the reign of God realized in the highest powers of the Roman government, rather than someone who was going to turn the government and the status quo upside down. But then Jesus turns the question back on the disciples. Who do you say that I am? The disciples respond by saying that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, when people give someone a title like that in biblical times, that usually means that they are going to be the one to rule in unmitigated power. Calling anybody else the Messiah other than the appointed Roman leader, therefore, represented an existential threat to the existing power structure that the Romans relied upon. That's why Jesus says to the disciples and rebukes them and tells them not to tell anybody because they could get themselves killed. And so Jesus says, well, I know you believe that, but you've got to keep it quiet, you know. And an even more stern rebuke comes later when Peter protests. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Here he's reprimanding Peter because he continues to think about human ideas about who Jesus is and what his purpose is, rather than a divinely inspired purpose. So there's a lot going on in this text. So what do we do about it? What do we do with all this? And this is so confusing in so many ways, even. But I think these verses sum it up pretty well. All who want to come after me, Jesus says, must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. All who want to save their lives will lose them. All who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. So this is my big picture overview for today. Our faith deepens when we can understand what difference Jesus makes in our lives and why we believe what we believe. For my friend Tim, Jesus made a huge difference in his life by giving him guidance and presence when he needed it the most. When he was at rock bottom, Jesus was there and gave him a purpose for his life. And he takes up the cross every day of healing from his past, understanding God's call for his life, and doing his best to follow it. But it's not easy for Tim. And it's not easy for any of us if we're honest with ourselves. Meeting Jesus at difficult moments of our own lives is, of course, never easy work. But it's often in those moments that Jesus reveals himself to us the most deeply. It's often in those moments that our faith becomes more real, something that we are part of because we want to be, not because we feel like it's the right thing to do on a Sunday morning, not just because like we say to ourselves, well, I guess I can't sleep in. I guess I'd better go to church. So as you go through this week, I invite you to think about how Jesus has made an impact on your life. Maybe like Tim, that impact has been monumental. But not everybody has a story like Tim's. Maybe Jesus is speaking to you through a still, small voice and a compassionate and loving presence. However Jesus interacts with you in your life, may you go and be part of the liberating work he invites you to do. Take up your cross and truly follow him, because following Jesus always leads to love and liberation, even in our most challenging moments. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 615. This is Community of Christ. The time has come to share the prayers and concerns on our hearts. Let's take a moment for silent prayer as we think of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Receive the prayers of our hearts, of God. Amen. So, as usual, I will offer a prayer petition, or somebody else will offer a prayer petition, and I will say, God, in your mercy, and I invite you, if you'd like to respond, receive our prayer. So a couple of prayer requests that I'm familiar with. Of course, the Bausch and Carlson and Westhouse families and all who love and still loved and still love Kathy as they grieve her loss and remember her with love. God, in your mercy. I also have a joy. I got to participate in, I officiated a wedding for a childhood friend yesterday. My friend Abigail married her fiance, now husband, Alex. I have known Abigail since she was born. She's a little younger than Emily, my sister Emily, and it was just a real honor for me to officiate that ceremony yesterday. So for Abigail and Alex and the love that that will surely be with them in so many things going on, you know, in their future. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Yeah, Lori.
This meeting with doctors about plasma heart surgery.
Okay. Lori Van Hoff's brother Tom is meeting with doctors about possible heart surgery this week. So for Tom and for the medical team caring for him, God, in your mercy. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. And I'm going to come back and check to see if there's anything on Zoom. One of the pieces that happens when you are short on volunteers is sometimes other folks step in. And we do the best we can. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, a few things. Okay, yes, indeed. Laura Reynolds also reminds us and that of something else we want to make sure we share. As many of you saw in your email, Grace McLeod passed away on, I believe it was Thursday morning, after a long journey with dementia, and her celebration of life was yesterday at Warner Harmson Funeral Home. So for all who know Grace, for all who loved Grace, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Okay. Then let us be in prayer. God, in your grace and love, you remind us what it means to truly follow you and to truly follow Jesus Christ. We remember with love those who passed from life to life. We remember Grace and we remember Kathy. We give thanks for their witness, which informs our living. We also remember that it is our job to be your hands and feet in a world in need. To be signs of hope where there seems hopelessness. We pray for the medical team that is attending to Tom and to all who love Tom as he prepares for whatever happens with his heart surgery, possible heart surgery, that his medical team will give him good answers, and that all will be well eventually. We ask also that you help us be your hands and feet to those who need it in our community and our world, those who face homelessness, poverty, food insecurity, and discrimination in all of its forms. Those who face war and conflict and abuse. We know that there are so many who need your love in so many ways. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who shows us the way, gives us strength, and teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may put your offering in the plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, please give generously as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Generous God, may these gifts honor your name and your generous spirit alive within us. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege of contributing to your kingdom and our world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 344, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. My friends, receive these words of benediction. As you leave this place, may you be empowered by who Jesus is to you and what his witness means for your life. Jesus' ministry of love and liberation informs our living and clarifies our mission to care for those in need and support the brokenhearted. May you do all this with gratitude for what Jesus has done for you. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.
Yeah.